This is the ballad of the overworked call center employee. So if you overwork in that, you know where it is.
I hear voices all day long. They yell, they cry, they rage so much, they almost get to me. I hear voices all day long. They're so frantic, I can hear them echoing in my bed. I hear voices, I have nowhere to run. They take my time, and my mind on the go. They like me a bit too much. I keep them on a leash. So they won't bite my sanity. You once told me to stop listening. I don't hear you, mumble as they scream. This is silence, dream are made of walls. That will shut up when I fucking tell them so. And I eventually wake up for another beautiful rainy day that I might actually enjoy if it wasn't for the echo of the voices that I cannot let go. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we have Juvenals. Jude.
Sorry.
This doesn't have a... Na-na-na. So yeah, this doesn't have a name. Yeah. Sure. Anyway.
So am I laid out at the center. So am I laid on my head. I see for the noises that keep me from sleeping. But I never can find the sweet haunting good old. Sometimes I wish they come for me. Sometimes I hope they won't. I find myself sitting in, waiting in silence. The pen scratch on paper is all that's there. Often enough, I sit there just thinking. Often enough, I escape from the melody from which my thoughts they come wandering. And accept my embrace with the kiss of their sun. Usually I've a mask that I'm hiding. Usually I can see. But once a month, darling, when the moon she is rising, be safe in the knowledge I'm thinking of you. Always then I do find myself wandering. Always where those hauntings lie. I can't stop the pen scratching as the moon she sailed westward. And I slowly but surely submit to the night. Oh, I slowly but surely submit to the night.
Thank you. Okay, can we have Fiona Bulger?
Those songs, I'm sorry, I'm just going to speak it.
This is called the middle of April, when that April with the shower suta, the drought of March had pierced to the ruta. My grandfather quotes Chaucer from the vinyl. 2. He knows more now, we will too soon. 3. In spring, helmet of green. In the summer, scarf of orange. In the autumn, shawl of white. Bamboos knock out a tune until disturbed by the elephants, grazing, discarding as they go. 5. The dangers lie in the jugular. No one really likes the smell of elephant poo, but it makes paper of a high quality. Words written on digested bamboo, nothing is lost between page and palm. That is the mystery. Pen, ink, paper, thread, card, dream, word. A memory clings like the smell of dung. And there are always fibers. 6. Let there be peace between us. Let us learn together. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. 7. There's no shit like your own shit. 8. And instead of entering the reserve forest, we wandered through the village. The tea shop sold weak, milky tea. We heard them, small black cows with bells tied around their necks. People warned us, an elephant herd was nearby. We found their still steaming dung. This was all free and unreserved. 9. The green mango is sour. Best eaten karam with vellum. Nagpur loose jackets are rare now. Orange trees cut to grow apartments. The iron red soil of Niamgiri woven into the shawl. 10. Here are some things to eat from a banana leaf. Idli, dosa, uttapam, appam, idiyappam, sambar, rasam, chutney, chutney puri, kori kattai, tarasadam, toku, chapati, paratha, puri, anasaru, chakre pungal, ven pungal, unga ishtam, sap tingo, eat your desire. 11. Still searching for the man in the cafe. 12. Silk sari. 13. She said, ask them, and he said no. She said, why is it like this? He said, nothing. She said, no, he said. 14. Pain Kurichanari, the fox who has drunk honey. 15. And from vinyl I learned, he loves you, yeah, yeah. Did you happen to see myself in those songs? Agni Nakshetram, water tastes sweet as mango juice trickles from fingertip to hand to elbow and bathed every vein in switch liqueur of which virtue engendered. This is very short. It was written in Cork at a workshop with Joe Shapcott here. A compound of words. Try to atomize what you're looking at. Imagine each letter, a string supplying a side way to transubstantiation, avoiding the black hole of a lemon market, the consonants shifting, the click of the Q Celtic fossils tricking down through the generations. Do you know, it's all Maya and we, Salah, must do penance. Aripavanga ni, as you cruise for a bruise, crushed together, we all make juice. And if you like that, you can have 15 minutes of it for free in Dublin on the Sunday, I can't remember the date, I think it's the 19th of October, at 11:30 to 1 in the Meeting House Square in Dublin. Please come, leave your best.
Thank you very much, Fiona. Okay, guys, we still have quite a list to get through here, so just try to keep your piece for no longer than 3 minutes, okay? Okay, Matthew Moynihan.
Two very short ones here. I've been at a love affair for the last year and a half, and it's a love affair with Cork City, so I've been writing a bit of poetry about it. There's no scandal. So it's called St. Finbar Cemetery, is the first one. Etched canvases lie in a dusty gallery on the Glasheen Road in Cork. Frescoes are howling out in the nighttime like a back catalogue. colours are screaming out against the foreground, souls screaming out against the darkness, and they ask for little, a glance, perhaps a flower, perhaps a tear. The other one is Feathers, and it's about a woman that I fell in love with for a while. As a dove took flight, two pulsing feathers loosened, and for a time they lay there, stagnating in the ethereal blue, waiting for a plume of smoke to guide them, waiting for the words of one to rouse them. Wind came, and it propelled them to the heavens, propelling them to a place where they were no longer just components, a place where they were no longer just quills of the collective. Now they are the collective, and may they float forever, float like feathers in the wind.
Thank you, Matthew. Okay, can we get Ray Hanley?
Okay, keeping it in the shark theme and also on the moon theme, these are two micro poems. The moon in the sky, the moon in the puddle is just as far away as the one in the sky, so the scientists say. And my other one is a haiku, it just goes. My stone I have thrown, the moon breaks up in laughter, far from my neighbour. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ray. Okay, can we get Michael Barrett?
A boyhood dream. Successful sportsmen, billionaire businessmen, and popular politicians may insist they have the best job in the world. They are welcome to their delusions. As far as I'm concerned, the greatest job in the world is being able to bring joy to oneself and other people through singing and through playing music.
Yeah.
This was a dream of mine from the time I was a small boy, as far back as I can remember. However, my primary school principal soon put a stop to that cherished dream, or should I perhaps say, to that youthful foolishness of mine. There was never any singing done in our school. However, when I was in primary six, he decided, for whatever reason, probably because an inspection was imminent, that he wanted to set up a small singing group. We'd never done any singing in the school before, so this would be a first for us senior boys. The teacher moved around the classroom to audition us. The audition consisted of each boy being asked, in turn, to sing Do. In most cases, the teacher then snarled, out, and in a few cases he said, okay. When my turn came and I sang Do, the response was, out you go, crow. I'm afraid that put an end to any high and mighty ideas of mine in regard to singing for my supper. I was never brave enough to try to sing anything at all after that. It was the end of a dream. And as regards choice of employment later on, I can assure you that singing talent had absolutely nothing to do with it ever. People say we should look for the positive. Nowadays, I wonder sometimes, could it possibly, in some way or another, have been for the best? I doubt it.
Thank you very much, Michael. Can we get Patricia Watts?
Thank you, Sean. It's called Open Wound. A cooked nerve gave again nothing, in particular festers at will. Separates on demand, carved at foot, a thorny lesson in kicking heels. Bespoke man shoes don't avoid issue. Mashed with sticking plaster for some time. Blood on occasion washes out the gunk. More challenging than other shoes. Dancing in time to excruciating pain. I can only offer up so much misery at a time. Suffering has its limits. cotton heel pouring out its filth. It will pass, I know. Avoiding gangrene is good. Blood poisoning is the only comfort, I know. Respect my privacy over all of the causes. My healthy and well, suffering under umbrage. Use my head for something besides bright fantasy. Pick off a step on its final journey. Some satisfaction on it, ultimate trip. And leading it to endurance, a finite walk. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Can we get Brian Crotty, please?
Thank you. This is called Word Power. I've just discovered words. Words, words, yes, words. All my life, I've used them, adulterated and abused them, never thinking just how pure their magic and allure, emitting only for the sake. Not conscious of sound, complex and strong, innermost profound, powerful of depth, I stand alone accused, to which I am guilty of vocabulary neglect. But as I write my prose, words keep me on my toes, not letting me forget, they're commanding more respect. And I'm glad to say, as and from today, I'm word articulate.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Can we get Phillips Blad, please?
Wondering, has anyone heard of Nicholas Drake? He's like one of my favorite musicians. One of my favorite songs by him is Time of No Reply. And I tried to describe how that sounds, how it feels. Time of No Reply. The crafter slipped, flexed, brushed the steel single high strings, and at the same time twines the heavy bass carefully. He lets them rin, melody out. Together, unity, and in time. And then, a hypnotic harmonic is slotted to conclude. He pauses and then brushes the melody again as he sings. The guitar is no more than an extra limb, made to release its master's imaginative art out. That includes the story, a story for a weight, the wonder of loss, a sad realization, not a hard blow the weak witnesses book. A bucket heavy regret, growing heavier. But his voice bears no pity, sounds like an acknowledgement. His flowing river tone sounds like on the edge of accepting laughter, that the one he tried to reach out to, but this time will not reply. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip. Can we get Rosalind to me?
This poem is called Poker Playing. The echo of a voice as plain as poker. Well, I guess now I'll find a way to win you over. I exhaled deeply and he said, I like the sound of that. My first big mistake was to tilt to the head of the joker. I'm always thinking, but it never amounts to anything. I'm always drinking from the cup of my own vanity. He smelled like coffee and I'm relief. He took the fidelity from my eyes. He was a thief. Reveling in his own humanity. Obsessed with saving the bloody country, so he is. But he treated me like a small bounty. The echo of his rusty voice drilling holes inside my head. He said, we're the same height when I get you to bed. And against my better nature, did I like the sound of that? Well, I didn't want his lips to go to waste. He liked his country and acquired taste.
Thank you, Rosalind. Okay, now we'll have Mary O'Connell.
Thank you, Sean. Just three of the haikus. Ray started off with a haiku, so I'm following in the tradition. Stark black hieroglyphs etched on the snow-laden sky, twigs writing in code. February light polishes the reed-fringed lake, Cucullin's war shield. I've titled this one, you're not supposed to title them, but anyway, I call this one Family Silver. A teaspoon lies snug within the curve of a fork where knives cannot reach. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary. Okay, so next we have Callum Bateson.
Yeah. Don't worry, people always have problems with that. Okay, so for the past 2 weekends, I've been in Dublin going to friends going away parties. Because apparently immigration is still a thing, so kind of being pissed off with this, so written poem. So yeah, it's called We're Still Leaving. We're still leaving. Our city swelled with cranes pouring concrete into new faceless streets, apartments full of IKEA suites. The tech capital of Europe, apparently, down to our ability and not our tax avoidance facility. Yeah, really. But this, on Tiger Celtic 2.0, is a people-less recovery we've on the go. Our TDs reel off statistics about how we've risen up from our knees to enter the gates of heaven, but clearly they've never visited Monastir Evan. Now, I'm not saying Kildare is the eighth circle of hell, but with each passing bus it's getting closer, you can kind of tell. Amongst the vacant shops and empty car lots, a void has opened, and I'm not talking about the outlet centre. Unnoticed, it's sucking us all in a silent tailspin. We're still leaving. From Bandon and Shandon, Rosseville and the banks of the Feel, on motorways and trains like veins pumping young blood to oxygen other states far from our ghost estates. And the problem isn't just that it's harder to go on Tinder dates. Let's go back to Enda Kenny's beloved hyperbole, because we're all about outperforming our neighbours, that's our role. Ireland is number one in Europe for immigration. Yeah, we can all pretend they're all on a long vacation, but that's a bit like believing that we're God's creation. A million of us, mostly young, living the dream abroad, with careers, families, futures that they can now afford. But Ireland can't. The notion of a knowledge-based economy might ring less hollow if this was Sydney, but as it is, it might be time to start converting the entire country into some sort of training university. We're still leaving, and we're bringing Ireland's future with us. Our main streets are decluttering, shops shuttering, and all that's left is waste paper fluttering. But it's not just small town Ireland that's suffering. The Dublin medium might like to paint a picture of them and us, like rural Ireland is another planet away, not a trip on the bus. But the impact of our booming trade in people bites Ballyahacli equally or slightly differently. Dublin's underground beat has changed tempo from drum and bass to a gentle rhythm of forage leaves on recovered slates in the next warehouse space. 30 is the new 20 in the Little Bitch Smoke, with brunch at San Lorenzo's new pinnacle of cool. You kind of start to wonder who we're trying to fool, because we're still leaving. And I want to stay to make it work here, but let's be honest. We live in a society where most of us would leave in a day for decent pay. The big E is a when, not an if for us, with 3 degrees and a master's, but we're wiping tables or mucking stables for minimum wage. You kind of get to the stage where Ireland feels like a big cage. Yeah, it's great to talk about having a PMA, just waiting a bit longer for the economy to get stronger. But at this rate, I might as well just go straight to the departure gate and accept my fate. Because you can say this has happened before, and it has, but things are different now, because this isn't about survival, but personal fulfilment, entitlement created by TV and celebrity. maybe we shouldn't want more, maybe we should accept our station as a lost generation, but we still are leaving. Because my friend Niamh is making digital art in Berlin, lives in New Cologne, and can afford to go out partying. Because Connor is scraping by in Dublin, sleeping on couches and barely has enough tuna in a tin. Because even when I climb up to the top of Patrick's Hill and watch the blue-brown red houses cascade up towards the four-faced lion, staring at the western sky on fire, there's part of me that's starting to tire. I feel like I'm the only one left standing, knowing that this is the soft landing. Lights are fading, our remnants floating away on the evening breeze.
Thank you, Callum. Okay, can we now have Michelle Julia?
This poem is called She. Unceasingly, her solitude sings. Her laces coiled with patience beckon men, queuing like balustrades along a soap stair. I stepped not, I stared. As she, she would lay on the tensile flesh of a wet foot between grooves of violet rope, drop liquid wrapped in pulsing, serving slumber to her, light shone up from under the black sheet of night's water they'd hovered over, and the flesh of her bed glowed red, and she, eclipsing her birth benign beneath her, her silhouette of lines bent, I could cut her out of paper using just a compass, and this image in me carved softly. And what of this light source beneath? A double-A battery flash lamp, maybe, cast to sea after failing to shed light on the lost keys of a lost man. Yeah, maybe that. But I must instead personify the lamp. The light that draws her, it is not controlled by man nor searching hands, since I am alone with her, and if so, then, undrawn by its surroundings, its flickering wish to give me this image, I thank it from afar and remain a stranger to it when it dies. And the red fleshy bed still glows in the blackness of its death behind heavy curtains of eyelids swept shut sideways. Then, I used to see her every other week, seeking meetings in bookbindings, pressing against soft walls of stiffened glue I could see her through. It was then I knew her, though blurred. And if I could only read the words, the only page between I and her, we'd be together, but I cannot concentrate on black lines now as she is every single color blurred into each other. And I will not step or light the scene or read the final page between us. To her definition, I will not to you bring, because unceasingly her solitude sings.
Thank you, Michelle. Can we get Rosie Arena?
All right, I'm not in the habit of doing a poem a second time, but I feel that this one has some work to do, so bear with me. It's not titled, but it goes out to all those living in direct provisions, so all the talk of refugees, we actually have plenty of them here already, and we're not looking after them very well, so this is for them. Okay. I am not here. For 8 long years in one room, you do not see me, the endless waiting, the past, a nightmare of a threatened future. I am not here, held captive with thousands more. You do not hear us. The black car is in the night, the engine of deportation. We are not here with our children. You do not hold them as they feed from our emptied hands. The food of our culture is denied, the right to work denied. They go to school, learn. They are not here. Their whole lives, hotel rooms and lobbies, home, a memory from a storybook, a thing unknown. I am not here, waiting for you to see me, hear me. Your silence steals my voice. Please speak. I am Mother Africa. Brothers, sisters, Syria, Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan. I am the children who have not washed away.
Thank you very much, Rosie. Okay, last on our list is Kieran McCartan.
So I never had like versions of anything, but this doesn't have a name, so it's just going to be version one. How does a garden know if it were meant to weed or grow? Under whose mindful stare, whose actions control the nourishment provided there or spread of poison's toxic flare? Either upskill on your seed care or prepare for the famine come in a habitat to steer clear, and you can't even see them running, no field of fear in each. Your job it was to teach, not lean on like a leech, born in a garden, reared by those, reared by you. Running wild with poison pride, indeed their garden does provide a savior to the brave, who felt the freedom to behave in conflict. The life of the provided forfeit, the life of the provided for, pay for in blood and strife, the neighbor and the knave whose lives you enslave with ideas that you sell to those further from the grave. Tell them it's okay that they have, while all those have not, and kill their curiosity with self-serving philosophy. Those that don't live like us have done wrong. And feed them every lyric in your song until it rattles around their heads. If God loved them, they'd have beds. Or so it seems, well, thread. Under a warmth, so it seems well fed, under a warmth well thread, by a hand constantly conscious of its route to the mouth, but seldom gets a feel off a fistful of food. Slightly confused at how they've been used, or how another manufactured the right to choose, or how they've been blissfully, viciously ignored by eyes on watch for bodies that they were destined to clothe. They carry passports for kingdoms. They carry passports for kingdoms like a stray and unknowing, and cross borders for whom they provided the clothes that warm the sleeves whose wrists flex to say stop. Either upskill on your seed care or prepare for the cold wind blowing on Western men and women who have forgotten how to sow, stitch, or potato, who've been evolved beyond their instinct to survive, You seek produce from the hive, but not a colony. Your progeny, the progenies of self-righteous bliss. You learn to live in a bubble that only exists in the minds of those to whom it was taught, its language and the text of its rules and use of its tools. Can you feel the incoming cold now that you are old?